an idea of Ahi B'shalach Pari Yassam. I remember when I was preparing, I remember something that I said that we learned, I don't know, it was last year, 2 years ago, whatever it was, but the same idea, but a lot simpler. I want to just say something a lot simpler than what we said in the past, just to start off. And it's relevant, more just to make it relevant to our society today, to the suffering that we are experiencing today. And there's a very, we talk here often about the dark side of Jewish history. We have this the dark side where not everything in Jewish history is so pretty. There's a lot of horror, a lot of sad news that affects us, and we don't focus on it, but we're not supposed to. It's not necessarily the proper thing to focus on the dark side, but there are definitely things that, you know, we just can't whitewash, and they're very relevant, and there's a lot to learn from. And one of the very great tragedies about this week's parasha, with all of the glory of Kriyas Yamsuf, the Shira, the Mon, Shabbos, and incredible bracha to Klal Yisrael, is the horrific tragedy that 4/5 of the Jewish people did not leave. It's very hard to understand this. It's some actually question what exactly this means. How could that possibly be? We have Rashi. I mean, Rabbi Shimon Schwab, he has a very, very deep shot of what it means. It does not to be taken literally. Okay, I'm all for it. We're not trying to, whatever it means, but it's these are words that cannot be ignored in Rashi. The words are Vachamushim Aluvinei Yisrael Me'eretz Mitzrayim. Let me actually turn to those words to quote them exactly what Rashi says, the very beginning of the parasha. V'chamushim, Rashi first says, it means they went out armed. Okay, everyone was, we learned this in the afternoon, they were well trained, they had weapons, and not only weapons, you know, it takes a lot of time to learn how to use a weapon. You give the average person a weapon, they won't know what to do with it. They don't know how to load it, how to arm it, how to care for it. Okay, you have to know how to actually use it. Okay, to use a weapon, any weapon, a bow and arrow, a sword, certainly in today with technology, and it requires skill, training, basic training. Soldiers, they have to know how to assemble a weapon, a gun, blindfolded. I once saw a YouTube video about describing the training of the Secret Service, and they actually showed these Secret Service people blindfolded assemble a weapon, a gun, and that's part of the training. You know, these are sophisticated devices. Vachamushim olu v'nei Yisrael mi'eretz Mitzrayim. Every koil yungman, every koil student, he knew how to fight. He had weapons. He knew how to use the weapons. That is Rashi's first interpretation. And then Rashi says something very disturbing. Let me find the pasuk. Vachamushim, it's pasuk yud ches, vachamushim. Okay, pasuk yud ches. Vachamushim. Let me find it. Okay, ein chamushim ela mizuyonim, armed. And then Rashi goes on to say, dover acher, chamushim, echod mechamisho yotsu. Only 1 in 5 actually left Egypt. The arba'o chalokim mesu, they died. B'shloishes yimei afela, in the 3 days of darkness. We discussed last week, the last 3 makos were not very happy makos for the Jewish people. They also suffered. Makats borot, it doesn't make any distinction between the Jews and the Egyptians. Choshech, we had a little drush, how the Jews also were unable to, they were unable to move. Doesn't say that the Jews were any different. There was a
says borot, rock the
that's borot. That's borot, but not arbe. No, I'm sorry. Arbe. The last three is arbe, choshech, makas b'choros. Makas b'choros, the Jews were targets. The only difference between a Jew and between Jew and Kevin should didn't have the Rishus LaMashchis. Once the Mashchis has permission to destroy, he can destroy anyone, even the Jews. The only thing was the Jews had an option of going indoors and smearing the doorposts with blood of the Karim Pesach and the Bda Milah to protect themselves. But if you go outside, you're a target. The Mashchis is there for you as well. The Makkah of Arba, it says nowhere that the Makkah of Arba did not affect the Jewish people. It says, B'chol Eretz Mitzrayim. The whole Gvul Mitzrayim, which some of the commentators learned that that's right, the Jews were affected also. And it was a test for them. And Choshech, so we had a drush yesterday that the only difference was the Jews can see, but the Jews still couldn't get up and move, they couldn't move. But you don't even need to come on to that. Because what happened during the Makkah of Choshech? 4/5 of the Jewish people died? This is worse than the Holocaust. In the Holocaust, 1/3 of the Jewish population were killed, were murdered. And here, 4/5 of the Jewish people died. They died during this time. What's going on over here? This is what Rashi says, B'shloish ha'simei afeila. Now, the Midrashim, I don't have the Midrashim in front of me. Rashi was very delicate. He didn't say why they died. Rashi is very delicate. He doesn't say why they died. And it's not really fair to me to go talk to but I'm just recalling from memory, and I think what I'm saying, I don't think I'm being irresponsible in saying what I'm saying, but we really should study the words inside. Why did they die? I believe it says in the Mefarshim, we read about this, is because they didn't want to go. They didn't want to go.
The tzitz says that.
Yeah, I think the Medrash says it in fair. I think the Medrash explicitly says, we have to go look it up, but this is what's, They didn't want to go. They were happy in Egypt. Thank you very much for the coffee. Okay. They were happy. They got comfortable. The Golus got to them. Mm-hmm. The Golus got to them, and they were not excited to leave and to go into the desert. It's suicidal to go into the desert. Not everyone is on the level to go and go out on a suicidal mission. And it's very tragic. They died. How they died, why, we don't know. This is not for us to understand. But they did die. Whose fault is it that they died? The Egyptians. The Egyptians won. They came down to Egypt. Egypt was described as the Ervas Haaretz, which means it was lewd. Promiscuity was out of control. That's what it means, Ervas Haaretz. And the Jews were affected. They were affected. And only 1 in 5 was able to survive. And even to survive, Chazal tell us, they were on the 49th level, 49 out of 50 level, the level of Tumah. They sunk so low. Had they remained there one moment, they also would have been sunk to the lowest level where they would not have been worthy of redemption. So we're dealing already over here where 4/5 already sunk to such a level where, unfortunately, not any fault of their own. What do you expect? You're in a country in such a secular environment where the values are totally antithetical to anything that the Torah represents. It's a terrible tragedy. And Hashem decided, we don't understand Hashem's ways, they cannot leave because they're not part of the team. They're not going to be beneficial for the Jewish people. If these people, they're going to leave, they didn't want to leave. And only 1/5 left. But it's a terrible tragedy. And Hashem said, this is what it says in the Medrash, this is more a homiletic, but it says in the Farish in the Medrash, V'loy nochom. What does it mean, V'loy nochom? Hashem, we learned this in the afternoon. Hashem did not guide them. Targum says, V'lo daborinun. It means to lead them through the Derech Eretz Pelishtim on the highway, the BQE. When they left, they did not go down the BQE. They did not go on the Garden State. They took the local roads. They went in a circuitous route. They didn't want to go straight. Hashem, V'loy nochom, Hashem did not guide them. Hashem hacked ways and sent them in some convoluted way out of Egypt. Why? Because ki koroifu, it would be too easy to enter into Eretz Yisrael, because then the pasuk goes on to say, what's the problem? It's karov. We'll have different interpretations. Karov means, Rashi says, it's too easy to return. It will be, he, Rashi, learns that Karofu in this context means it will be very easy. And what's going to happen? It's inevitable that when they travel to Eretz Yisrael, they're going to encounter Mulchama, war. There's going to be a war. They're going to come across Amalek and the Canaanim. And when they get scared, they're just going to make an about face and they're going to go back into Egypt. So Hashem did not want them to return to Egypt. So Hashem.
That's the good ones.
That's the good ones. Exactly. Those are the good ones. Those are the one-fifth who left. But the four-fifths, they did not even leave. They died in Egypt during the Shlosh Me'afela. So, and therefore Hashem went and Hashem brought him about in a circuitous path so that when they do encounter Milchama, it's not an option to return to Egypt. That's the simple pshat. The Medrash also says in its way, which we're not reading the Medrash, but we're just taking one idea from the Medrash, Veloy Nocha means Hashem did not have comfort. Today, Rachmona Litzlan, we go to a Beis Ovel, what do we say? Hamokoim Yinachem Eschem. When Yaakov Avinu was told that Yosef was murdered, he was ripped apart by an animal. Ki toroif toraf Yosef. So what did Yaakov, what does it say? All of it says there that all of the children got up to give comfort to Yaakov Avinu. And the Pasuk says, Vayimo'ein lehisnachem. Yaakov Avinu refused to find comfort. Vayimo'ein lehisnachem. When it says here, V'loi nocham, it means Hashem did not have comfort from the fact that only one-fifth of the Jewish people left. In other words, the Ribbono Shel Olam, this pasuk can be understood to mean, like what it says by Yaakov, Vayimo'ein lehisnachem. Klal Yisrael is Hashem's people. We are the children of Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. Four-fifths of the Jewish people perished. Who did this to them? Who's the cause of four-fifths of the Jewish people not being worthy to leave Egypt, and Hashem, for whatever his reasons are, had to bring it about that they died during the Shloish Yisimei Afilu? Whose fault is it? Is it our fault? Definitely not. It's not our fault. It's Egypt. Egypt won. They succeeded. They succeed in contaminating our minds, our hearts, our desires, our she'ifos. They sunk four-fifths the Jewish people to such a low level where Hashem says, my hands are tied. They cannot leave Egypt. But Hashem says, V'loy nocham, I don't forgive you. I have no nechama. I can't get up from Shiva for these people who died. Even though they may be wicked, I think in the Medrash actually says to you they were wicked. That's a pretty strong term. I believe the Medrash says they were wicked. Even though they were wicked, Hashem says, so what? It's not their fault. Vayimoyin lehisnachem, v'loy nocham Elokim. V'loy nocham Elokim. Hashem did not have nechama. And Hashem wanted revenge. He wanted accountability. He wanted justice. What's going to happen now? Let's look at the story. Klal Yisrael has been selected to be the Am HaNivchar. There were miracles. Look at the miracles that happened. You can't deny the miracles that happened in Egypt. They're leaving Egypt. 40 days from now, they're going to come to Har Sinai. They're going to get the Torah. Then the Am HaNivchar. And then let's go further. Okay, what's going to happen next? Let's continue traveling to Eretz Yisrael. Oh, they come to Eretz Yisrael. War. The Canaanim come out to go to war against the Jewish people. Amalek comes to attack. So what does Klal Yisrael say? Listen, we know we're Klal Yisrael. We'll be like the Americans, the American Jewry in the 21st century. Eretz Yisrael, we're not ready yet. We're not yet ready. There's you can't make a parnas in Eretz Yisrael. It's dangerous, there's terrorism, there's all these problems. We got the Torah in the Midbar. We got the Torah with the Am HaNivchar. We're special. In the meantime, until Mashiach comes, let's go back to Egypt and live a good life until the Melech HaMashiach comes out of the sky on a donkey. on a white donkey. And then we'll go to Eretz Yisrael. So what's going to happen? We'll go back to Egypt, and Egypt will be very happy to take us back. Be very happy because we provided the whole, since we left Egypt, the whole country collapsed. The economy of the country collapsed. The Jews were the best workers. The Jews did everything for them. They'll be very happy to take them back. Really? Are the Egyptians deserving that the Jews, that nothing should happen to them? The Jews, they flee, they leave Egypt. The Egyptians are all alive and well. They're all, and now the Jews want to come back and work for them and build up the economy once again. Okay, so we'll let the Jews have their little shtibloch and their shuls and their kosher pizza stores and their restaurants. They'll do whatever they want. Gesunte Hayt, you have your own cemetery, do whatever you want, and you'll come back and you'll work for us. You'll lead them and shalom al Yisrael. Hashem says, ze lo fair. This is not fair. The Egyptians are wicked. The Egyptians have succeeded in destroying 4/5 of the Jewish people. I don't forgive them for that. V'loy nochom Elokim. Hashem does not have nechama, v'ayimoyin lehisnachem, over the loss of 4/5 of the Jewish people. Hashem says, I want blood. I want to finish these people off forever. And the way we're going to do that, I got a problem, Hashem, because if I go and I take the Jewish people on King's Highway, straight into Eretz Yisrael, and when they get to the front door of Eretz Yisrael and they see there's a war waiting for them, they're going to be terrified. You know what they're going to do? You know, let's make an about face on King's Highway and just go right back into Egypt, be back there in 5 minutes, we'll make peace with them, and we'll go move back into Egypt. Nothing, the Egyptians will remain alive, their economy will be restored, and the Egyptians are not going to get what they really deserve for what they've done to the Jewish people. So Hashem, you know what? Let me take them on a difficult path out of Egypt. And by doing so, we will bring about the whole process of the Egyptians chasing after them and Kriyas Yamsuf and the obliteration of the Egyptians, where there's nowhere to return to. And when the Jewish people find themselves in a difficult situation, it's not just they're going to make an about face. There's nowhere to go. There is no Egypt to go back to because the Egyptians have been destroyed. They've been obliterated. There's nothing left of them. I don't want them going back to Egypt. I don't want there to be an Egypt, period. I want to destroy the whole Egypt. Why? The pasuk begins to tell us why. V'loy nocham, because I have no nechama what they've done to my people. If only 1/5 of the Jewish people have exited Egypt, I'm upset. V'ayimoyin lehisnachem. There has to be accountability. There has to be justice. And these people have to be punished and destroyed. Therefore, I am going to arrange their journey out of Egypt in such a way that we will first bring it about. We'll first bring it about that the Egyptians will chase after them, and it will result in the glorious event of Kriyas Yamsuf, where the finest and the best of Egypt will be killed, destroyed, Mida keneged Mida, and it will, in the process, destroy Egypt. And the Jewish people will never have a thought in their mind ever again to return to Egypt. Because not just because of us, the Egyptians don't deserve it. The Egyptians don't deserve us. They don't deserve that they should get away with this crime and wait for the next world, the Olam HaEmes, for there to be Din V'Cheshbon. Sometimes when a crime is so great, there's such a principle. There has to be Din V'Cheshbon in this world as well. It's not, we live in a world where, as Jews, we're so afraid of everything. We back away. Someone commits a crime. Most Jews, the attitude is, just run away. Don't seek justice. Because we're in Galus, that unfortunately we're in Galus, and it's very hard to get justice there. So just survive. We live with a survival mentality. All right, I don't know, right, wrong, this, that, every generation, every time, everything is different. You can't generalize. Everything is a very complicated world. But Hashem can do whatever he wants. And when the Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim, the Medrash, just take with this one word, V'loy Nocham. The Pshuto Shel Mikra is Hashem did not lead them, did not guide them. But the Medrash says the word V'loy Nocham also means Hashem did not have comfort. What's the comfort? It's a little bit vague. And the Pashup Shot has to be that the comfort, what does it mean though? What was the tragedy? The tragedy when Abayhi b'shalach paro es ha'om, do the math. How many people actually left? 1/5. 4/5 did not leave. Why? They died. Why did they die? Because they were not worthy to leave. And Hashem had no choice, because of the situation which we don't understand, to bring about that they should die prematurely. And that's a tragedy. A horrible tragedy. For which Hashem says, "Vayimoin lehisnachem," I refuse to have comfort. To have comfort for this tragedy, and I have to do something about this. And we're going to start by destroying Egypt. And how are we going to do that? I'm going to guide the Jewish people in such a way to mislead the Egyptians. Nevuchim heim b'midbar, they're lost in the desert. They'll come chase them. The whole story. But it all started with the Loi Nacham. Now, why do I'm telling you this? Why is it so relevant? We're coming now to the 1 year anniversary of Corona. Okay, this month Corona all started. It was this time. It was Purim was already pretty serious. And even before Purim, a week before Purim, 2 weeks before Purim, we're coming now to that era, that time where, unfortunately, a lot of people are having a replay in their mind what happened last year. The pachad, the confusion, the unknown. I remember I went to visit one of the hospital, Maimonides, last year this time. You could literally slice the air with a knife. The tension of just walking the hall. The hospital opened. You could walk into the hospital. They didn't shut down the hospital yet. Then they shut it down. Then you don't know. Then, but you could literally. I never experienced such a thing. You look at another person in the hallway. You're a murderer. You're gonna kill because you're breathing. In those days, you weren't even allowed to wear a mask. They didn't want to give us a mask in the hospital. They told us we can't give you a mask. We can't give you, you're not entitled, we don't have enough here. And then Fauci also says save it for the first responders. This is a whole different time. This is what we're talking about over here, the very, very beginning. Woo! It was a real horror. A lot of people died. And it's a very big tragedy to forget about them. V'loy nocham. We're now coming to a point where it's b'shalach paro esan. There's a vaccine. People are taking the vaccine. People are coming out a little bit more. There's talk, a lot more talk, opening up the city, doing this, doing that. It's on the horizon. Okay, obviously it's not so simple at all. It's a lot of danger. Be very, very careful. But there's a lot, it's a different atmosphere. It's a different environment of planning. There's a lot more vision in going forward. And as you go b'shalach paro es ha'am, we plan in our lives to move ahead, to go forward with the vaccine and with this, with that, to figure out how to navigate. V'loy nocham. It's now the 1 year anniversary. We should not just, they died. Goodbye. Everyone has to die eventually, right? We're all going to die anyway, so, No, that's a terrible sin. It's a terrible, terrible sin. V'loy nocham. There was a magefa. Thousands of people from our own. In Eretz Yisrael, over 4,000 people died. They're all Jews. In Eretz Yisrael, they're only Jews in Eretz Yisrael. when they say there were 4,000 people who died, who are the 4,000 people? You'll tell them, okay, maybe there were 10 Palestinians, 10 Arabs. Okay, thank you very much. The Jews, 4,000 people, they died. You're going to go tell me, oh, they weren't Haredim? Come on. Come on. Nonsense. What does the pasuk over here say? 4/5 died. Who are the 4/5? I think the Medrash says they were Rishonim. Okay, no one would say, you don't know how to say that about that a person who's irreligious today. A religious person is a tinik shenishba. It's a foolish thing. It says a lot worse about the 4/5 over here. A lot worse, it says. And what does the pasuk say? V'loy nocham. And what does Ribbono Shel Olam say? Vayimoyin lehisnachem. Achenu b'nei Yisrael. And certainly, how many Shomrei Torah mitzvos, Gedolei Yisrael, Tzadikim, Kedoshim, Utohoidim. It's horrific. And it's a very big tragedy just to brush it off. Definitely, I definitely feel very strongly this is that there's not enough commemoration and memorials for the people who passed away this last year. Okay, there's more of a witch hunt of who's to blame. Who killed who? You didn't wear a mask, or you're a murderer, you're this, you're that. Okay, that's another story. It's another story. But besides that, the witch hunt, there's been a terrible tragedy. Many of these people didn't have levayos. So a lot of you coming up very soon, the yard sites of the first yard site of people who died. Most of these people in the first 3 months. There was no levaya, nothing, zero. Kovod Acharon is a lot. There's a lot to be said about Kovod Acharon. They just disappeared off the face of the earth. Some of them didn't even have a tahara. They were buried by goyim. Certain people, you know, there's a certain thing. You're buried only by Jews. They have a tahara. They have a whole nothing. No tahara. They're put in plastic bags. They were buried by goyim. No one was even allowed to be there when they were buried. It's very common. In Eretz Yisrael, in America. And we don't even know the real numbers. That's the truth. No one even knows. And even if it wasn't from Corona, they died from... Corona is everything. We all know that. Even if they didn't die because of Corona, the neglect... I know some of some of my families told me, shocking thing, they there's a certain person they know. Okay, they need medicine. They need a very serious medicine. And Pfizer makes the medicine. And they go to the pharmacy. Oh, sorry, we don't have it. We don't have it. When it's unavailable, what do you mean it's unavailable? Never had before. This is an emergency. Sorry, the supplier doesn't have, we don't have it. We ran out and we call the supplier and the supplier gives us in an instant, you know, they deliver it instantly, the same day. The supplier says, sorry, it's not available. When? Maybe in a month. A month, it's pikuach nefesh. Go to another pharmacy, the same thing. Why? You make an investigation. Pfizer is so busy distributing, making, manufacturing, and distributing the vaccine, they cut corners in all the other products that they're making, which are for some people pikuach nefesh. Okay, that's just one teeny little story of what's going on out there, of how far Corona has affected everything in this world. And v'loy nocham, as we march forward, v'yihi b'shalach paroye sa'am. It's a very big simcha. Tremendous simcha. To go forward. To move ahead. But don't forget, v'loy nocham. Vayimoein lehisnachem. Hashem refused to find comfort. And Hashem said, there has to be something done. In the case of the Torah, it was justice. We're not here for justice. That's not our problem. Our mission is, at least the people who died, they deserve more. And it's a tevi on us. We come to the yard sites of many of these people. It should be something more significant, that their lives should not be so insignificant that they're gone. Okay, let's go further. Let's go to another idea. Maybe we'll come back. I want to say something else about this, but it's a little too morbid, so we'll skip what I want this and do something a little bit different. Now, we have over here something very, very interesting Rashi. Very interesting Rashi about the horses. Paro took with him Sheish Me'ois Rechev Bachor. It came time to chase after the Jewish people, and there was a call for arms. Okay, it sounds like the First Crusade. Made a speech, Mila Hashem Elai. Who's going to join me in chasing after the Jewish people? Paro, Rashi over here tells some very interesting things about this. So the whole, a lot of contradictions, it seems. So over here, what's going on? But the whole story, the only point I want to make over here is, Paro rallies the troops. He has to convince them. He tells them, I'm going to divide the spoils equally. I'm going to take the lead. I'm not going to be a coward, go in the back. And no, they go, Vayomar Paro Livnei Yisrael. No, that's let's go first. Vayugal Melech Mitzrayim. And they, Vayugal Melech Mitzrayim, Ki Vorachan, Vayehofech Levav Paro, Vayavodav Elo'om, Vayoymu, Mazois Osinu, Ki Shilachnu Es Yisrael Meavdenu. Let me read the Rashi. Rashi here, Pasuk Hey says, Vayugad, okay, it says over, he took with him Ikturin Shalachim, we sent spies. That's not what I want to talk about. Let's go further to Rashi. Vayesor es Richboy, who biatzmoy, Paro himself hitched his own chariot. Vyes amoy lokach imoy, Rashi, Moshcham bidvorim, he persuaded them. Lokinu v'natal v'notlu mimoynenu v'shilachnum bohuimi v'ani lo yesnagi mochem kishoam lochem. Okay, fine, let's go further. Then he takes the horses. Im toimar. Question, Rashi says. Pasuk Zayin. Where did Paro get 600 horses? Now, it's not just 600 horses, it's 600 chariots. Each chariot was pulled by many horses. Where do you get all these horses from? Didn't they all die in the Dever? Didn't they die in Borod? They were all dead. There were no horses left in the whole Egypt. Im tam Mishal Mitzrayim? You're going to tell me Mishal Mitzrayim? Hare ne'mar v'yomos kol mikne Mitzrayim. V'im toimar Mishal Yisrael. V'aloi ne'mar v'gam mikneinu yelech imanu. Mishal mihoyu. So Rashi says something that is shocking. Mehayorei es devar Hashem. In the Makkah of Borod, they were forewarned there will be hail, and if you leave your animals outside in the street, they will die. So it says in the Pasuk, Hayorei devar Hashem, heinis. Anyone that was a God-fearing individual took his horses inside. He was afraid that it's going to happen. He was a Yohayorei Devar Hashem. Someone who was fearful of the word of Hashem. Heinis es avodov v'yes mikneyu el habayis. Something like that, says in the Pasuk. He brought in his servants and his cattle, his animals, into the home. The Pasuk goes on that the people who did not fear the word of God, they left their servants, their animals outdoors, came the hail, and they were dead. So there were people who were God-fearing citizens in Egypt, who brought in their animals. Those animals were still alive. It was those animals that were hitched to the chariots of Paro's army and were taken out to the battlefield. Mikan, and then Rashi goes on to say, okay, he says that. I want to say a little bit of a drush. When Makas Kriyas Yamsuf was over, and all the dust settled, right before we come to the Shira, what does the Pasuk say? Vayar Yisrael es hayod hagedoyla asher aso Hashem b'mitzrayim vayi re'u ha'om es Hashem. The sum total of the whole story was they feared Hashem. This event of Kriyas Yamsuf, it brought out Yirah Shamayim. There's nothing more valuable in this world than Yirah Shamayim. We wear a yarmulke. Why you wear a yarmulke? Yerush Shemayim. Every Jew wears a yarmulke. What's the yarmulke for? To show I'm a Yerush Shemayim. I'm afraid of what's above me. I'm making a separation. When you're afraid of something, you run away. You make a havdalah. You put on a head covering to show I'm afraid of Shemayim. Yerush Shemayim. Vayiru ha'ames Hashem. They feared Hashem. Vayaminu b'Hashem. They had faith in Hashem of Moshe Avdo. The sum total was, it was an event which brought the Jewish people to a state of Yirah Shamayim. How does that happen? It happens in a vacuum, it just out of nowhere, a person becomes a Yirah Shamayim. Is that the way it goes? There's no such thing. Every result in this world is a product of planning, of effort, of hard work. Anything significant doesn't just happen by itself. If you see a person, a good person, you know what that means? Someone raised him. It means he has parents that invested time, effort, money, thought, prayer. People don't just grow like weeds. And those who do grow like weeds stay far away from. They're animals. A person who is a disciplined, honest, God-fearing, productive member of Klal Yisrael didn't just get there by accident. He had parents, grandparents, he has a family, he's a product of a home that invested in him enormous, enormous effort. Every product is a result of something. It doesn't just happen by itself. If this event resulted in a glorious moment to remember forever for Klal Yisrael, that it impacted them, changed them, to become Yirei Shamayim. Vayar Yisrael Sayyod HaGdil Asher Osa Hashem B'Bishem Vayiru Ha'om. Not Vayiru. You say Vayiru, you're not Yoytze the Kriyas HaTorah. That means they saw. It's the Reish is a Shvona. Vayiru. They feared. Ha'om Es Hashem. They feared Hashem. How did this happen? Well, there are many elements how this happened, but one element is the horses that pulled the chariots that brought about, they're the main players, that's the main cast. Okay, your cast of characters. Who's the main cast? The horses! The 600 chariots which were pulled by, I don't know how many horses each chariot had, different opinions, how many horses each chariot had. Those horses that participated in bringing about event that the Torah describes as an event of Yirah Shamayim, they were a product of Yirah Shamayim. The people in Egypt, doesn't say it was the same people. You know, it could be the people that had the horses. They were not soldiers. They were just ordinary people. They had horses. So they took those horses that were in their stables and they stole them, the government, stole them for the military to give to the soldiers to go out with the chariots. Where did they get the horses? They got the horses from an event where the Torah says, the only place that it says in the entire Egypt was a lewd, promiscuous society of lowlifes. The only place it says there was any degree of fear of God in Egypt was with these horses. Hayorei Devar Hashem, Heinis Avodov Bumigneu into his home. The Pasuk says those who feared God took their horses, put them away for safety. Along came the military, grabbed those horses, we're taking them with us to go kill the Jews. Really, you're going to take a product of Yirah Shamayim to go and to destroy Hashem's people? Doesn't work like that. The horses were on our team. The horses that were chasing after Klal Yisrael were on our team. How are they on our team? Because if those horses are a product of an expression of Yirah Shamayim, it can only be that they will work to produce more Yirah Shamayim. And thus, it's not a coincidence that the event is at the end of the day is described by Yiru Omes Hashem. It's because the Sheish Meyois Rechev Bochor of Mitzrayim themselves were a product of Yirah Shemayim. By the Mark of Borod, is a very
why did the horses have to die in the Yamsuf then?
It's a good question. See, originally when I would say it's a very good question. Why, if they were Yirah Shemayim, so why should they have to suffer?
Because they brought a Michshol to the Mitzrayim.
Well, first of all,
just like the Susan and nearby, you killed the horse didn't do anything.
Okay,
the horse was a help, was a lefneiva, whatever.
He's asking a very good question. Rashi actually says, from this you learn even the best, of the Egyptians you should kill. Okay, I'm going off on a drush. I agree with you. Ordinarily, I would say just the opposite and say something entirely, but I want to finesse it this way because there's truth in this as well. The horses, first of all, the people who own the horses, first of all, it doesn't say anywhere that the people who took the horses inside died. I think it's reasonable to say the military needed horses. The only ones who drive the wagons, the Sheish Mios Rechav Bachor, are soldiers that are trained. But the soldiers need equipment. Where did they get the horses from? They went out into the fields, they went into the barns, and they found horses. The people who expressed the Yirah Shamayim were the human beings. The horses are just inanimate objects. They're just objects. These horses could have died in the field.
So you could say they were products of Yiras Hashem.
Right, that's what I'm trying to say. There are people out there.
Okay.
Tom, Dick, and Harry had a horse. And Tom, Dick, and Harry, they took their horses, they had Yiras Shemayim. They took their horse and brought their horse inside. So the horse is a product of Yiras Shemayim. We don't care about the horse. And we care about the horse, but everything has to be judged in its context. Okay, Tom, Dick, and Harry are tzaddikim in a certain sense. They had Yirah Shemayim, and they brought their horse inside. Now it came time to chase after the Jewish people. Did Paro conscript Tom, Dick, and Harry into the army? No, because Tom, Dick, and Harry don't know how to drive a wagon. They only know how to program a computer. They don't know, this is not their skill. Paro has special forces that drive his Sheish Mios Rechav Bachor, but there's no gasoline in the car. Oh, you know who has the gasoline? Go to Tom, Dick, and Harry. They have gasoline. So they stole the gasoline from Tom, Dick, and Harry. They put it in the vehicles of Paro. So Tom, Dick, and Harry, they're the ones who expressed Yirah Shemayim. So they didn't say that they died. I mean, the whole Egypt was destroyed. No one was a tzaddik in Egypt. Okay? Just because they had one good day of being Yirah Shemayim is not going to be mechaper for all the murder and corruption. Okay, you know, it doesn't go like that. Just because one day you're a nice guy, you smile, you say good morning, we're not going to let you get out of jail for murdering 50 people. We're not going to let that. That's the way it works. But these people expressed Yirah Shemayim. And the product of their Yirah Shemayim are these horses. These horses were now seized by the military to go and kill the Jews. And what is the result? The result is they all died. The Egyptians all died. They were all destroyed. And when Klal Yisrael witnessed this, what did they say? Vayi ru'u ha'ames Hashem. They feared Hashem. Oh, put the pieces together. When the product that you're using, the weapon that you're using against us is a weapon that was a product of Yirah Shemayim, do you really think this weapon's going to work? It's not going to work. This weapon, that the only thing that it's going to do, it's going to result in more Yirah Shemayim. As it happened, Vayiru Ha'omes Hashem. Let's go back now. Go back to the Makas Borot. All the commentators asked a question. The Makas Borot, Hashem said, this is such a good question. Some even changed the gears in Rashi. They go so far with extremists in this pasuk. Hashem sends Moshe at the very end of Parshas Bo, the last of the seven Makas of Parshas Bo. Go to Paro, tell Paro, oh, we got another Makas coming your way. Guess what? Get ready for Makas number 7. What's the makor? Borat. And how does he describe it? I will send this time, hinni shalech bochem es kol magei foisai. I will send against you all of my magefos, all of them put together. Rashi says, mikan, from here we learn, makas b'choyrois, the mak of b'choyrois was shokel kineged kulam. What? Makas b'choyrois? We're not talking about makas b'choyrois here. B'choyrois? So Rashi says, so change the gear. So, no, you're reading it wrong. It's not makas b'choyrois. Makas b'choyrois. B'choyrois means the first fruits. The first, like bikurim. Borod destroyed the crops. So Rashi is calling the mark of Borod the marker that destroyed the bikoires, the produce, the early produce of the land. As it says in the Pasuk at the end of the parasha, that pishla the hasa'ara loinunuku ki afilo isheim. The pishta and the barley, the flax and the barley were not smitten because they were late. It was not, they were not yet in a state of development that they were affected by the barak. What was smitten? It says the early crop, the early boomers, the baby boomers, they were wiped out. So when it says maka, it means makas bikores. All right, whatever it is. But one thing is for sure. It says in the pasuk, I will send against you kol magefoisai. With what we're saying, it adds a new dimension to this term. Because in this particular makor, the Egyptians had the opportunity for the first time to show Yiras Shamayim. And this Yiras Shamayim was preserved to ultimately obliterate them off the face of the earth. The good Egyptians, the good ones, they expressed Yiras Shamayim. They produced a product. And that product was the product that destroyed Egypt for good. Makas Borod was unique. It wasn't just the makor that brought about destruction for the land. It was a makor that produced a weapon that would destroy Egypt. All the other makos were makos that brought destruction. Dam, the water turns into blood. Sardea, what a nuisance. I have a crocodile in my bed with me. What's going on? These were all punishments. Everything. But the makor, you know what the makor of Borod was? Hinni shaleach bochem es kol magei fosai. It's the only makor that produced a weapon of mass destruction. The makor produced, it forced the Egyptians into a frame of mind where they were afraid of Hashem. They saw Hashem, they were afraid. And what did they do as an act of acknowledging the Yiras Shamayim? They brought their horses inside. By doing so, what have they done? They've taken their horses, empowered them, injected, given them like a vaccine of Yiras Shamayim. Makor of Borod was a makor that created a weapon of mass destruction for them. And for us, it was a bracha. These horses now have been infused with Yiras Shamayim. They're a product of Yiras Shamayim. And thus, when these horses now will be stolen, snatched, seized by Paro and his army to go kill the Jews, sabotage, ultimate sabotage. Those makos are our, those horses are ours. They're working for us. They are a product of Yiras Shamayim. V'ata mo Hashem Elokecha shoyl meimach, kim liyira oisoi. If our goal is to come to Har Sinai, to Makabel the Torah, to become Yirei Elokim, so what do you think those horses are going to do? They're sabotage. They're going to be working for us. It's going to result in a magnificent display of Vayiru Ha'omes Hashem. Okay, let's go to another idea. A few more minutes. I want to go to another idea. A very interesting scene here at Kriyas Yamsuf. Come to Kriyas Yamsuf. The Klal Yishol says, "Vayisu v'nei Yishol l'seinim v'inei Mitzrayim lo yaseya achareihem." Vayi re'u me'oy. They were terrified. What do they do? Vayitzaku v'nei Yisrael el Hashem. The most beautiful pasuk in the Torah. Rashi. They're afraid. What does a Jew do when he's afraid? Rashi. Vayitzaku v'nei Yisrael el Hashem. This is Pasuk Yud in Perek Yud Dalet. Vayitzaku v'nei Yisrael tofsu umnois avoisam. They took hold of the trade of their ancestors. Ba'avraham u'aymer el hamokoy masher omad sham. Rashi over here feels it necessary to tell us exactly where the avos prayed. By Avram it says, "L'mokim asher amad sham b'Yitzchok losuch basode b'Yaakov ayifka b'mokim." Okay, Klal Yisrael, they said to Tehillim, "Shira malois." Everyone, take out your Tehillim. Let's say Tehillim. That's what we're going to do. Okay, very good. So you would think, what would you think, that the Tehillim empowers them to have more emuna? And what happens? What's the very next pasuk? Vayoyimru el Moshe, Moshe. Hamibli ein kivadim b'mitzrayim. Is there a shortage of graves in Egypt? Lekachtanu lomus b'midbar. That you took us out to die here in the desert? Mazoisosisolanu. Haloyotzelim b'mitzrayim. Haloyzeh hadavar. Don't you remember what we said to you? Yere Hashem aleichem v'yishpoit. When you made our life miserable by going to Paro and it backfired, and he denied us the ability, they no longer gave us the straw. We had to go collect the straw. They quoted that passage. That's what Rashi says. What is going on here? Pasuk, these two psukim are a contradiction, could not be a greater contradiction to the pasuk before. The pasuk before says, Vayitzaku v'nei Yisrael el Hashem. They said, Shir Hamalois. They davened. Lech kinoi says kol hayuhudim hanimtsuim b'shushan v'tzumu olav v'al teichu v'al tishtu. What more noble, glorious thing could there be for Klal Yisrael to daven to Hashem? How could it be the moment they finish saying, they finish the Shir Hamalois, the very next moment they turn around to Moshe and they curse him? Could you imagine you go to shul and the rabbi calls everyone to shul to say Tehillim? And the moment you finish saying Tehillim, the moment, you look at the rabbi and you literally curse him. Does that make any sense to you? Impossible. Wait at least until you leave shul.
It's not impossible.
Okay, you're very big realist. But what's going on here in the Torah? They're coming to say Shiram Alois. The Torah says, Tavsu umnus avoisam. And the very next moment, Moshe, Hamibli, and the most insulting things you can possibly say. It doesn't make one bit of sense. What's going on here? So I want to suggest to you that Rashi is answering this question. Rashi, when it says, Vayitzaku b'nei Yisrael el alavaysam, tofsu umnes avaysam. If you want to search Chumash, you can probably find 25 places where the avos daven to Hashem. There are a lot of psukim. A lot of psukim, maybe not so many, okay, but you know, Rashi feels it necessary to quote for you chapter and verse where Avraham davened, where Yitzchak davened, and where Yaakov davened. Rashi really need to do that. You really need to quote me chapter and verse. There's no limit on this parsha in the Midrashim what Rashi could have written. Rashi does not have any shortage of material to fill up the page. Guarantee you that. Rashi has to quote here chapter and verse. We know this is what the others do. They dive into Hashem. Why is Rashi quoting for us chapter and verse? And the answer is Rashi is quoting you psukim about davening that are very, very different type of davening than what you would expect. When he quotes the pasuk by Avraham, he quotes the pasuk where he davened after it was all over. Avraham davens an enormous, lengthy tefillah for stone. He davens, maybe there are 50 tzaddikim, 45, 40, 30, 20, 10. No. He davens on such a long davening. Hashem says, sorry. Then what happens? The malachim go, they find Lot, puff of smoke. They press the button, they launch the nuclear codes, they call it Meir Appledorf, he gives them the nuclear codes to the football. Boom, gone. The whole stone has been obliterated off the face of the earth. Gone. And then the pasuk says, then Avram, he looks, he sees the mushroom cloud. He sees the famous mushroom cloud, and he goes back to Shul, and he davens. The pasuk there quotes that Vayashav Avram, he returns to the Makom Asher Omad Sham Mitechila. Avraham is davening in that pasuk. It's all over. What are you davening for? What are you davening for? It's over. They already died. They're dead. The whole city is a puff of smoke. And the pasuk says, and Avraham returned to that location to daven, where he davened yesterday. He davened nochamol weiter. A new day. New problems today. Yesterday I wasn't so lucky, so today I'll daven shachris nochamol. Another day, another challenge. Maybe today my tefillos will be accepted. Yitzchak, vayetze Yitzchak losuach basode. The shidduch already happened. Where do you learn from Yitzchak? Yeah, he's losuach basode after Eliezer already clinched the deal. They already had the vart and the lechayim without him. They already had the whole ceremony already happened without Yitzchak. And now, Vayetze Yitzchak losuach basode. What is he going to daven for? Chazal say, he's going to daven for a zivug. Really? The zivug already happened. You're a little bit too late to daven for the zivug. And then he sees Eliezer coming to him. It doesn't make any sense. Yaakov, Vayifka b'mokoyim. What's Vayifka b'mokoyim? Yaakov Avinu, he traveled all the way to Lavan. And then he says, chaval, I forgot to stop off by the Kosel Hamaravi. I came all the way here. You know what? Let me go back and daven in the place where my ancestors davened. If it was so important to daven there, he wouldn't have skipped that location. If you have what to daven for, you go right away to daven. I have nothing to daven for. I'm fine. I already did my service. But you know, I realize now I come to Lavan, I didn't go to the Kosel. Not nice, you know? So let me go to the Kosel and daven in the place where my ancestors daven. I don't need anything now. I'm good. I'm good. I'm good to go. But it's just not nice, so let me go. The three examples that Rashi quotes where they davened are examples where it almost appears the davening is irrelevant. Stone was already destroyed. Yitzchak already had a shidduch. It already was done already. Yaakov Avinu, Vayifka b'mokom, Rashi elaborates, he reached his destination, and then he said, you know, chaval, it's not nice. The Mokom Har Moriah, the place where my ancestors, Avram and Yitzchak, where they prayed, I should also go pray there. I don't need anything, because I already davened already. The three examples that Rashi quotes are examples of davening a tefillah that basically, lufi pshutoi, are irrelevant. I'm not davening for anything. I'm just davening. Davening for the sake of davening. I have nothing really to ask, nothing specific to ask for. When it says here, Vayitzaku v'nei Yisrael Hashem, Rashi was obviously very bothered. How could it go? How do you go from Vayitzaku v'nei Yisrael Hashem to cursing Moshe Rabbeinu? How do you do that? It's impossible. It's just impossible. You don't do that. You don't daven, and the next second you go and you say, Moshe, there are no graves in Egypt. You took us over here. If you daven, it means you daven. You have a moon in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So Rashi says, there was something wrong about this davening. There's something deficient. And Rashi quotes, look at Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. They daven. Now, chas v'sholom, to say something is deficient about davening. I don't mean it like that. You know that I don't mean it like that. But when Avram Yitzchak davened, they davened a davening reflecting on the past. It's a very powerful concept. Sodom was destroyed. Could you imagine? A whole country was destroyed. And Avraham davened. He returns to Shul, Elamokoy Masha Omad Sham to daven. What's the nature of davening after it's over and you lose? You lose. It's a davening of, I accept. I'm mekabel the din. My relationship with you, Hashem, does not change one iota. I poured out my soul to you. You did not accept my prayers. I asked you for 50, 45, 40, 30, 20. You did not accept my prayers. It was rejected. I see the mushroom cloud. But you know what, Hashem? We're still friends. My emuna in you is not diminished one bit. I accept. Yitzchak, what is he davening for? He already has the shidduch. It already was a done deal. Eliezer is on the way. He sees him. It's not a davening for the future. It's a davening of thank you or just calling to say hello. No, when we daven every day, not every day, we're so passionate to make demands of Hashem. You check in. You daven in the morning, shachris, it's like you're checking in. I'm here, Hashem. Here I am. Attendance. I'm present. Present. I'm not like some politicians that are always absent. Present. Okay, I'm here. Present. Yaakov Avinu. He's not davening for the future. Mokom shespal boy avoisai. The location that my ancestors daven, I'm not going to go and pay tribute and daven there as well. If you had something you need right now, you would have been there a long time ago praying to Hashem, Hashem, help me. Aneni, Hashem, aneni. Obviously, you don't need, you're not in that matzav at this moment. So why do you go there? You go because makom, it's a zuchus to go there. That's what you do. You have to check in. Klal Yisrael over here, they find themselves in a makom sakana. They're about to die. They're about to die. The reality is, Derech HaTeva, they have no chance. It's over. The davening over here by Yitzhak Uvnei Yisrael Hashem was not a prayer of optimism for the future. It was a tefillah of basically we're being matztik olav es hadin. We hear al derech hateva. That's it, it's over. The Yam is in front of us. The Egyptians are behind us. There's no way out. We don't see any solution. We have to be realistic. We can't expect a miracle. Miracles happen. They were happening to them all the time. But Vayitzaku tofsu umnis avoysan. This is beautiful. This is the pure prayer. It is the prayer of Ribbono Shel Olam, thank you very much. They were matzdik olav es hadin. It wasn't a prayer, we're going to get through this. Because al derech hateva, you're not going to get through this. You're going to die al derech hateva. You can't live it. You know, we live in a world today of fantasy. You know, segulis and fantasy, ridiculous. They davened a realistic prayer reflecting upon the past. Just like Avraham, Yitzhak, and Yaakov. Study the psukim that Rashi quotes. These were not psukim situations where they're faced with a tzara. And they say, Ribbono Shel Olam, you better get us out of this tzara. We got a problem. We need a solution. You Hashem, are our only hope. Aneinu Hashem, aneinu. The psukim that Rashi quotes are psukim where it's specifically there is no aneinu Hashem, aneinu. These are psukim of, it's over. And now let's wrap it up. Let's say a Kaddish Yosem, Kaddish Drabonan, to wrap it up. Sodom is gone. Yet Avraham Avinu returns, Hashem, I accept. Yitzchak, I accept. Yaakov, the mokam shespal b'yavoyisai, I pay tribute. I'm not here to go, Hashem, give me, give me, give me, give me, give me. I can't expect you. You can't hold Hashem hostage when you have a need and you come to shul. Person comes to shul, there's a problem. You dive into Hashem, people have this attitude, you're going to hold Hashem hostage. You have to do what I need. I don't know. Some people tell me, you know, you can't do that. There is such a thing to it. Maybe there is. All right. I don't know. This is a very hashkafic, very hashkaf issue. Rashi here, you cannot ignore the fact that Rashi quotes three psukim of tefillah, tofsu umnes avosam, and the three examples are very interesting examples of prayer of after the fact. They're not prayers of the future. They accept. That's not a contradiction then to curse Moshe. We're masikul of esadin. It's over. We're going to die. And we thank Hashem. And we're bitter. We're entitled to be bitter. You're entitled to be bitter. We don't understand how this world works. This is a very complicated world. And we're human beings. And it's human nature to be bitter. That's how it is. When things don't work out the way you like, that's the human condition. And you do your best to thank Hashem. Tovsu umnesavoysam. A Jew says, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. If he's a young person and has not lived out a full life and he's about to die, he's not upset. You can tell me, oh, he's such a tzaddik. He said, Shema Yisrael, full Kabbalah. Come on. Deep down inside, he's upset. Why am I dying so young? Why did this happen to me? So you said Shema Yisrael. That's right. You're saying Shema Yisrael. You're matzdikul of esadin, but it doesn't take away what the reality is. Hashem says to Moshe, Moshe, tell these people they got it all wrong. I'm going to do for you miracles. Daber el b'nei Yisrael v'yiso matitzak elai. The next words of the pasuk of Vayom Moshe Moshe, Vayom Moshe, let me go further over here. Vayom Moshe l'om, al tirohu siyatzvu, ruhus ha-shusam. Moshe says, no, it's not over. It's not over yet. Don't go say vidui. This is not a time to say vidui. Yeshua sashem, Hashem yilochim l'chem yatem tacharishun. Because this goes back, and okay, fine. Hashem actually says to Moshe Rabbeinu, Hashem says the same thing to Moshe Rabbeinu later on. Matitzak elai, daber el b'nei Yisrael v'yisohu. Go forward. Don't daven a tefillah on the past. Daven a tefillah for the future. Where's the pasuk al tirohu? Vayidu v'mitzrayim. Where does it say by Moshe Rabbeinu? Vayidu v'mitzrayim. Vayidu v'mitzrayim. V'chun al yom. I'm just following that pasuk. Vayidu v'mitzrayim. Vayidu v'mitzrayim. Vayidu v'mitzrayim. Haloi zeh hadavar. Vayoy Moshe l'om al tirohu. Hisyatu u'us Yeshua Hashem. Asher yashir l'chem. Ki asher isem. Hashem yilochem l'chem. Ma'atizik l'darbel neshul v'yisohu. Go. Right, exactly. The next pasuk. Exactly. Hashem reinforces this. Vayomer Hashem el Moshe. Hashem reinforced with Moshe. Ma titzak elai. What are these people doing? Vayitzaku. They're saying vidui. They're looking back at the past. They're thanking me. Now's not the time to say vidui. Now you should daven. But daven for the future. Daber el b'nei Yisrael v'yisohu. Travel forward. Different types of tefillos. There's a tefillah to get your way in the future, and there's a tefillah of reflection. The Jews are davening a tefillah of reflection. No, that's not the right prayer. The prayer you daven now in this eighth sari is a reflection of hope, of going forward, of salvation. It's a different mindset, a different frame of mind. Okay, out of time, I want to conclude by telling you, Rabbi Isai, this week we have miracles. And the miracles return once again every year. The last pasuk we read in the Haftorah and in the Shira is, "Vayomer Hashem says, 'Im Shemoya Tishma l'Kol Hashem Lokecha v'Yazanta l'Mitzvos v'Shemarta Kol Chukav Kol Amachala Asher Samti v'Mitzrayim Loi Osim Olecha Ki Ani Hashem Roifecha." What a beautiful pasuk! I am Hashem, the one that will heal you. The world is sick. The world is a choile. We're living in a time we never had such a thing like this. The ganze Welt is begeder a choile. And we have had our share, unfortunately, to a very, very large degree. And this week's parsha, we read this pasuk, it's a certainty that this pasuk coming up against the one-year anniversary of Corona is certainly a a gift from Hashem of Siyata Deshmaya, that this har should disappear, all the Chole Yisrael should have to be healed, Hashem should send the refuah to us, to the world, and we should Parsha Hamon, this week's parsha, the economy of the world and all of us should be restored to a state of health, vibrancy, and success. We have the Brach of Shabbos. Shabbos is this week's parasha. The first time Shabbos appears in the Torah is this week's parasha. The revelation of Shabbos to Klal Yisrael, which is the makor of all bracha. So Baruch Hashem, this week, Shechiyanu v'kimanu v'giyanu, to reach this man where we should merit the brachos of Yiras Shamayim, the bracha of Siyat Deshmayim, Yiras Shamayim, the bracha of Refuah, the bracha of Parnasa, and the bracha of Shabbos, which is koilel all of the brachas. Have a wonderful Shabbos. Thank you for coming and listening. Amen. And be well. Zayigas with everyone. Be well.
Shabbos, Rabbi.
Shabbos. Good Shabbos, Dr. Fruchter. Good Shabbos. Shabbos. Good Shabbos. Shabbos. Regards to your wife. Regards to your wife.
Shabbos. 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 Rona had to be in the shrine because we're saying
Shabbos,
all.
Everybody.
Shabbos. Call Hamachala. Call Hamachala. The bats were there also. Okay, good Shabbos, Shabbos, good Shabbos, good Shabbos, good Shabbos, good Shabbos.
Hey, Dennis, how you doing? Dennis Wilbur, we haven't seen you all week.
Good Shabbos, good Shabbos, good Shabbos.
Hi, Dennis, how are you?
Yeah. How's Dr. Vilna doing?
I don't know. I got to find out.
And Brizak, you spoke to Brizak?
I spoke to Brizak not long ago. I spoke to Bessie. Yeah. She likes you, man. She wants you to call her.
I call her. I did call her. I must have called. When did you call her? This week?
This week. I spoke to also Mrs. Siegel. She was very happy, Mrs. Siegel.
She's good. She's in Lakewood?
No, she's here. She doesn't go. No, she's here. She doesn't go anywhere.
Lakewood is also.
She's locked down. She's locked down here in Flappers. She doesn't go anywhere.
I keep on hearing people here are getting it from their kids now. Little kids are giving it to the parents.
She doesn't go anywhere. Mrs. Siegel stays here in Flappers. She doesn't move anywhere. They come to her. She doesn't go anywhere.
Rabbi Levine.
Yes.
Rabbi Levine.
Yes.
Ooh,
Mazel Tov. Who's there? What's her name? What's the name?
They made a big vart.
Yeah, there was a big vart. I heard. I mean, I'm in Florida. Her name is Rivki Pinez, and the question is Shaul Wachshaw. His father works for
Avedia.
He works
for Avedia
magazine.
Mazel Tov, Mazel Tov.
Yeah, thank you.
Shavuot Nachas, Mazel Tov.
Mazel Tov. Thank you.
Hey, Dennis, how you doing? We heard your voice, Dennis.